Many of the major issues in water economics take a general form, known as common pool problems. If we consider a body of water, there are at least three questions about its use. At what rate should we use it up or draw it out? How much should we allow it to be polluted? And how sanitary should we keep it? These may sound like distinct issues, and indeed, in practical terms, they are, but there's a common logic behind each of the three dimensions. To see that common logic, let's consider the particular issue of pollution. Let's say that a body of water, such as a small pond, is privately owned, and there's the question of whether or not that body of water should become more polluted. Well, who makes the decision? Typically, it is the owner of the small pond. The owner of the small pond weighs the possible benefits from allowing the pollution, such as being able to run some kind of industrial process, versus the potential costs of the pollution, which could mean in some manner spoiling the small pond of water. And indeed, there's this calculus of benefit versus cost. The point is not that the owner of the water resource always gets it right, but at least someone has an incentive to protect, shepherd, and maintain the value of the water resource because that person owns it. A similar logic applies when it comes to the question of how rapidly should the body of water be used up, or should we allow that body of water to become unsanitary? Again, someone owns it and has an incentive to preserve the value of that resource. Of course, there are some times when maybe resources should be used up, and then the owner of the resource has a possibility of making that decision as well. If you now imagine that the same body of water simply sits in the commons, in other words, no one owns it, or maybe you might wish to say everyone owns it, but everyone owns it is actually not very different from no one owns it. If you take a body of water that no one owns, the incentive is to overuse that body of water, pull out the water too rapidly, the incentive is to overpollute that body of water, and the incentive is to make that body of water unsanitary, to take your waste material and simply dump it in. Because there's no owner, there's nobody with an incentive, again, to preserve the value of that resource, and that is known as a common pool problem. It's sometimes called the tragedy of the commons. When we have a tragedy of the commons problem, well, what are the possible solutions? One solution that works in many cases is to privatize that water resource. To take a simple analogy, consider swimming pools. Swimming pools are usually looked after pretty well because someone owns it. They don't want their swimming pool to be ruined, and it helps preserve the value of the house, and maybe someday the house and the pool will be resold. And so there are some ponds, lakes, rivers, wells, and so on, which can be privately owned in more or less the same manner that a swimming pool is privately owned. This doesn't work all the time, but it can work in many cases. It tends to work when the relevant property right can be well defined and enforced by some manner of law or custom, and it also works when you can give a private property right in water without creating a huge monopoly problem. There may be many cases where there's just simply a single lake or a single river or a single ocean, and you wouldn't want a single private owner of that resource, because then that private owner would have too much monopoly power over the supply of water, and then you're back to tragedy of the commons. But it's this trade-off. You can eliminate or reduce the tragedy of the commons problem by moving to greater ownership at the possible risk of there being a greater problem of monopoly ownership. Another possible solution to tragedy of commons problems is to have norms and rules as to how the resource will be used. It doesn't have to be formal legal ownership, but if the relevant parties involved agree on how quickly a water resource will be depleted or how much it will be polluted, if they can do this informally, then we may get at a satisfactory solution, perhaps nearly as efficient as that under private ownership. For more on this option, see the video unit about Eleanor Ostrom, Nobel laureate. Take this case of the two people sipping on the drink. In a simple hypothesis, the incentive is to drink too much of the liquid too quickly because you want to get as much for yourself before the other person takes the drink away from you. How about in this setting? Will it work? Well, if this man and woman truly love each other, they will have norms and rules, and they may approximate sipping on the drink at an optimal rate. But of course, if they don't love each other, or maybe if they even dislike each other, then you're more likely to see that inefficient solution where the liquid drink is depleted too quickly because of tragedy of the commons. Sometimes neither private property nor norms and customs will work very well. Sometimes you have serious problems when there's a water table underground, and no one can easily own the water table because it's hard to define and the property right is hard to enforce. And the incentive is that many people come along at different places and at different points in time, and they drill wells, and they pull water out of the water table, and the water table is exhausted too rapidly. Even if we could assign private ownership to that water table, it still begs the question as to how we stop people from pulling out the water too rapidly. Simply claiming I own the water table doesn't really do very much. So in these circumstances, often what is needed is some kind of regulation where there are legal restrictions on how much water people can pull out of the table at what rate. Of course, these legal restrictions can themselves be very difficult to enforce, especially when corruption is high, but nonetheless, this is another potential solution to tragedy of the commons problems. Another very difficult tragedy of the commons problem is when there's some kind of fertilizer runoff or pollution into a water source. And here, you may know that your water source is being polluted, but it's very hard to trace, well, where did this pollution come from? And so it's very hard to stop it by suing someone. And again, simply declaring there's a property right in the water resource isn't enough. So in these cases, one possible solution is to in some way regulate the use of fertilizer, or how much fertilizer is used, or how much fertilizer is allowed to run off, or what kinds of fertilizer are to be allowed. Often it's hard to solve tragedy of the commons problems, but when you do, you get these potent forces, private property, the law, and private norms and customs working together to get you clean, safe, and reliable water.